From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. NBC's Tim Russert took the witness stand today in the Louis Libby obstruction of justice trial. Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, is charged with lying to the FBI and the grand jury in the course of an investigation into the leak of a CIA operative's identity. The CIA operative is Valerie Plame Wilson, the wife of former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. He publicly accused the Bush administration of twisting intelligence in its justification for the Iraq War. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg is covering the trial. She's with us now. Nina, before Tim Russert's testimony today, the jury heard the last 2.5 hours of defendant Libby's grand jury testimony. Can you tell me about that?
Well, Libby told the grand jury that he not only didn't leak Valerie Wilson's identity to reporters in June and July of 2003, that he actually learned about her identity from a journalist, from Tim Russert, the moderator of Meet the Press. The court this evening released that tape of the grand jury testimony, and here's the critical passage about Russert.
And then he said, did you know that Ambassador Wilson's wife works at the CIA? And I was a little taken aback by that. I remember being taken aback by it. And I said, no, I don't know that. And I said, no, I don't know that intentionally because I didn't want him to take anything I was saying as in any way confirming what he had said. Because at that point in time, I did not recall that I had ever known this.
That was Louis Libby speaking in his grand jury testimony. Nina, what did newsman Tim Russert say in his testimony today about that conversation?
Now, remember, the Russert testimony, or rather, I should say, I guess, the Libby testimony, is the basis for one of the counts, the perjury counts against him. And today, Russert totally contradicted Libby. He said that Libby called him to complain about another NBC program, Hardball, and he said that Libby was very agitated and that all he, Russert, did, basically, was to listen. Russert said that he did not tell Libby anything about Joseph Wilson's wife and could not have told him anything about her because he didn't know she worked for the CIA until several days later when he read about it in Robert Novak's column. In all, Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald took just 9 minutes to question Russert, sort of a slam-bam, thank you, sir, and it was pretty devastating.
And on cross-examination, was the defense able to cut into that testimony to mitigate this in any way?
Yes and no. At first, defense lawyer Ted Wells seemed to get his head handed to him by Russert every time he tried to suggest that Russert didn't have a clear recollection of the conversation. And each time, Russert shot back that he did and that there was no discussion of Ambassador Wilson's wife or her place of employment, and that if there had been, he would have thought it was a very significant story. And in fact, he said that when the Novak column came out, Russert thought, wow, this is a huge deal, and that he and his colleagues at NBC spent days trying to figure out whether they should report on it, should reveal the identity on the air of a CIA operative's name. Defense lawyer Wells had a little more success, though, when he faced Russert with his own memory, or lack of it, about a different phone conversation, one involving him, that is, Russert. In 2004, Russert denied to a Washington Post reporter that he had phoned a critic from the Buffalo News who had written unkind things about him. And the Buffalo News lampooned Russert, accusing him of suffering a public memory lapse. So Russert checked his files, found he'd called the reporter, and he wrote a letter to the Buffalo News correcting the record and expressing regret for the mistake. So you can imagine what the defense did with that in a case where the defendant, Scooter Libby, is claiming a faulty memory.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of faulty memory, is Louis Libby in fact going to testify?
Well, initially the defense said he would, but in papers filed this week there are suggestions that he may not. The judge earlier in the case told the defense that it would not be able to argue faulty memory to the jury if Libby did not take the stand. And so now the defense is trying to get that ruling reversed.
It seems like it might be risky for Libby not to testify.
Well, it's probably risky either way. If he testifies, he gets in the tank with a piranha prosecutor who will probably savage him on cross-examination, or at least try to. And if he doesn't, he risks the jury relying on his less-than-stellar grand jury performance.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you.
That was NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg.